Bustin' Loose Baseball,
hosted by Grant Paulson
and Toby Altizer,
gives you in-depth analytics
and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital.
Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, episode 183. I'm Toby Altizer alongside Grant Paulson. The Nationals dropped 2 of 3 to the Giants. They came into the series on a nice winning streak. You face off against a really good Giants team, and you get shut out on Friday. They came back and won Saturday's game, were unable to come back and win Sunday's game in the finality, so they lose 2 of 3 to the Giants. But overall, I think they played decent in the series, and I think the story of this one, Grant, is seeing Hassel came up on Thursday, and then you saw Lyle make his debut on Friday. So some young guys now starting to chip in with some of the injuries piling up for the Nats.
Yeah, Toby, I could get used to not only the promotions, but seeing guys perform when they get called up. Obviously, Robert Hassel's debut, we talked about a first pitch base hit, stole second, became the first National ever to have two hits and a stolen base in his major league debut. And in fact, he would have had a third hit if not for a diving catch by an unbelievable center field effort by Michael Harris of the Braves. And then the next day, Daylan Lyle got his shot, and he had a hit in his major league debut as well on the first pitch he saw, subsequently made an outstanding diving catch to seal the 3-0 win on Saturday afternoon playing right field. Both he and Hassel have made outstanding grabs already. I think both in that same game, as I think about it, on Saturday afternoon. As a matter of fact, Hassel making a big-time catch in center. But they both flashed defensively. They've both shown that they can roll the pole a little bit and made good solid contact with base hits. You're right. I thought the Giants series overall, like, you could live with that, man. You lose the 4-0 shutout game in game one. You lose game 3-2. Not enough offense. You got to hit more. You got to score more than they did, averaging a run in those two games. But obviously, they got James Wood, who had the big RBI knock and was at second and then moved up and ended up not being able to tie the game with a base hit there. But, you know, it's very, very different, I think, when you get good starting pitching. And in that series, Jake Irvin was awesome. Mackenzie Gore was really good. Soroka went 6 innings for the first time. When the bullpen's throwing pretty well like it is right now, it's just a different-looking team. Even the losses are competitive and respectable.
Yeah, I want to talk about the starting pitching because Mackenzie Gore on Friday night was solid. He ends up with a loss, even though he goes 6 innings, only gives up the 1 run. And I think he would have been able to get through that 7th inning if he hadn't got hit with that comebacker in the 1st inning, which then led to him tightening up a little bit at the end of that outing. We've seen that now a couple of times with National starters this year. Jake Irvin's had it. Now Mackenzie Gore in a similar sort of situation, but only gives up the 1 run, strikes out 9 over 6 innings. I thought he was really solid. And look, I mean, they were shut out, so there was no chance that they were going to win that ball game. But I think you had to be happy with what you saw out of Gore, where he looked really, really good. And then I want to talk about Irvin, because this is one that's interesting, Grant. You know, Gore has kind of done that all season, and that's kind of his line that we're getting used to at this point. 6 innings, striking out 9 or 10 guys and giving up a run or two. Jake Irvin's kind of been up and down this season, but it seems like he's getting back on track lately, but his velocity is still way down. You know, there were times in that game on Saturday where you're looking up at the board seeing that he was throwing below 90-mile-an-hour fastballs, and his velocity as a whole is down, so I don't know that it's hugely alarming that he's probably sitting a mile an hour or two less than he was last season, but you know, he's kind of averaging 92, but he was really effective in this outing, going 8 innings, scoreless. I maybe had a chance to go back out there for the 9th, but walked a guy at the end of the 8th inning there. So I think they decided that they were going to go to the pen, and Lopez finished it out for him. But I don't know what to make of Irvin, because he's so dominant in this outing of 8 innings scoreless. But then you look at the velo and some of this stuff, and I don't know what to make of it. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, for starting with the velocity, I mean, he's down 2 full miles per hour from last year. His four-seam fastball velocity was 93.9 last year. It's 91.9 now. And in fact, the curveball is down 3 miles per hour. It was 81.1 a year ago. It's 78 now. We could get into some of the spin and movement stuff, but I think the curveball's still grading really, really well. His breaking run value is 93rd percentile. So the pitch is every bit as dominant as it was. The off-speed run value is 75th for him. You know, the fastball is been a bit of a struggle, frankly. 28th percentile last year when he had 2 miles an hour better. It was only 16th percentile in terms of fastball run value. So he's actually been more effective, believe it or not, with his fastball this year. But it's definitely something worth tracking. I mean, he's been very solid. He's not missing bats. He doesn't get strikeouts, even with his season high 7 punchies. He's got 68 innings and 47 Ks. So this is very much a working to contact, early contact, deep into game starting pitcher. And because of that, he is their horse. I mean, he does pitch deeper. He does accumulate more innings than their ace, Mackenzie Gore. He's the one guy they allow seemingly to go into the seventh, the eighth with a pitch count in the 90s. I actually genuinely thought he should have been given a chance to pitch the ninth instead of Jorge Lopez, who got the save opportunity and went 1-2-3 over the weekend. But in 11 starts, he's got a 3.4 ERA. He's 4-1 on the season. So the results have been better, I think, than kind of some of the underlying or peripheral, metrics when you look at velo. But if the effectiveness isn't wavering at all, and when you look at like batted ball data, if it's pretty good, then you don't worry about it. But his batted ball data, I would say, has not been what you're looking for. And so that's my only nervousness moving forward. Like, he's our guy and watching him is a treat. But if you look at chase percentage, he doesn't really get chase. Average exit velocity is 17th percentile. His expected batting average of 273 is 21st percentile. Swing and miss, fifth percentile. Strikeout percentage, 17th. The two things he's done really, really well this year, obviously the curveball is amazing, his usage and effectiveness, but he does not walk anybody, 73rd percentile. But he's run into a really high barrel rate, hard hit percentage is high, ground ball rate is below average. So these are things that over the course of the summer, as it gets hotter and the ball's flying, they don't bode well. And if you remember, he had a rough finish last year as well. So there's still, I think, very much a lot to be determined about his season, but I love the results, and I like that this guy battles. I think he is a ballsy, what I call like stones pitcher, man. He goes at you with whatever he's got.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting to see that velocity down, but him still be effective. So, I think he's someone that he never had the A plus stuff of like a Gore or someone of that nature. So, he's going to have to learn how to pitch anyways and be more of that true pitcher versus a thrower. So I wasn't necessarily worried about that, but it is interesting to see the velo down, and yet he has this kind of an outing, and he's had these sorts of outings throughout the year with the velo down. So it'll be something to monitor, but look, I think you've seen him be able to be effective even with the decreased velo. So I don't know that it's anything to be super worried about. And look, as long as he's giving you quality outings like that one, I mean, you can't be too mad about it. You talked about Michael Soroka as well on Sunday. Something to watch with him now, where his last couple of starts, basically, once he gets towards that 80 pitch mark, gets towards that sixth inning, he kind of runs out of gas, it seemed like. And this one, he was able to at least get through six innings, give you a quality start, gave up the 3 runs, but was solid overall. What'd you make of his start? Because you like to see him. Really, the thing that they're missing in the rotation to me, Grant, and I know people hated watching Patrick Corbin every fifth day, but with the young guys and the, Mackenzie Gore isn't generally going to give you more than six innings. Mitchell Parker's been kind of up and down this season. Jake Irvin maybe is taking the workhorse role that Patrick Corbin had, but even he's had some inconsistency. Really, the thing that they're missing is that veteran that you can always depend on to go out there, and even if they suck, they're going to give you six, seven innings. And hopefully Soroka can regain that role. Because I think that's kind of the idea that they had, knowing that Williams, the other guy in the rotation, is a true five and dive guy, even though they've tried to get him to get a little bit more. But Soroka getting through six, only giving up the 3 runs, you felt like you had a chance to win that ball game on Sunday.
Yeah, you did. I mean, you kind of took the words out of my mouth. I agree with you completely. You want length from him. And it's got to be competitive innings, obviously. But I actually really like the way he's looked early on this year. He's had a bad inning, to your point, like in almost every single start. And it's still too early to really deep dive into the numbers in terms of innings. But I think the pitch usage is compelling. Last year, he threw his fastball about 32% of the time. It's up to 42% of the time this year, and his velo is actually up a bit. He's sitting 94 and he's regularly pumping 95, touching 96. So that's good to see. He's got that slurvy breaking ball that he's throwing a ton. So if you just look at those two pitches, that's basically the majority of the pitch mix, right? Is those two offerings that he's pitching off of. Now he throws a change up occasionally to lefties, and he's been working with a two seamer that comes against righties. But I think by and large, I actually think from a stuff standpoint, I think he's got the second best stuff in the rotation when he's right. And I don't even know if that's fair to Irvin, because Irvin's breaking ball might be as good a pitch as anybody has in the rotation. But based on the fastball and the pitch mix, I think there's a chance he could actually string some good starts together. And I really do like the way that he's looked. Kind of drops the arm angle down a tad to throw that change up or the sinker, but coming more, higher than three quarters, almost like at 11 p.m. to throw the four seamer at 94 and running it up to, now major league average, which is crazy. 94.6 miles an hour is major league average for a righty. But I've liked him. I like that he got deeper into the start. I do think you're right. I think that's the key for me. Like, if you want to have value and make good on $9 million, you got to eat frames, man. You got to go out and pitch six innings. So the fact that was his first six inning outing probably had more to do with the fact that A, he missed a lot of time with injury, and B, they're going to be a little careful now with his arm. But that's where he's got to be. He's got to, especially with Trevor Williams being, I've always called him five and dive here the last couple of years, but now he's like 3 2/3 and dive. He's
Yeah.
like 4 1/3 and dive. So they really do need Soroka to get him at least 15, if not 18 outs every time he pitches.
Yeah, and with Williams, it's going to be interesting when you look at what happened at the end of this ball game on Sunday. You had Brad Lord go to scoreless. At what point does it get to a point where they have to make a move in the rotation where if Williams is not being effective and giving you five innings? Because if he gives you five innings, gives up three, four runs each time, you feel like you're still in the ball game. It's not great. It's definitely not a winning formula. But if you know you're going to at least get five, I think you can live with it, or at least that's what the team's going to tell you. Versus if he's not going to be able to get through five and he can't be effective and get there every single time, then I don't know exactly what he's providing you in the rotation versus at least kicking the tires once again on Brad Lord. I'm curious if you get a couple more of those starts, at what point do you just say, let's send Trevor Williams out to the pen and give Brad Lord some more opportunities in the rotation?
So I'm there. I mean, I'm ready. If it's up to me, we're doing it right here and right now. To the Nationals' credit, and I know fans don't love hearing this, but they have a really good way about them of handling their veterans. And last year, Patrick Corbin was the leader in the rotation. Like, he was the guy that was taking everybody out to dinner and having the parties at his house and that kind of stuff. And that's now Trevor Williams, believe it or not. I mean, Williams, I overtell this story, but on Valentine's Day, when you're in the clubhouse without a loved one, like, he's putting a flower in everybody's locker and giving them chocolates. And he's the guy that organized, like, bought the suite for all the players to go hang out at the Caps game. Like, that's his role. And the team takes care of that guy, and really gives him a longer leash. Not as a quid pro quo or anything, but just because that's an important role on the team. You don't want to demote that guy, not to the minors, but in this case, like, to the bullpen before you have to. They gave Corbin that leash. A little bit different, though. 6 years, $140 million, 1 year World Series, and $7 million player who doesn't necessarily need to be in the rotation. So it's coming. They're not going to move as quickly on that, I don't think, as I would. But yeah, I am in the mode now that we've seen Hassel come up, now that we've seen Lyle come up. Like, let's keep it moving, man. Let's get Cade Cavalli in the rotation and let's have him replace Trevor Williams. Or, as you said, if you wanted to be Brad Lord, that's fine. Let's call up Brady House at third base and have him replace Jose Tena with Paul DeJong not back yet. Like, let's move and shake here a little bit. There's no reason not to. But keep it going. I mean, I like what I've seen from Dalen Lyle. I know we're going to break him down in a second because I know we haven't. We didn't do a pod after he got called up, but why stop here? Time for
Yeah.
Cavalli, who's gotten healthy and is pitching a little better, and time for House.
Real quick, before we get to Dalen Lyle, wanted to shout out the guy that we talk about all the time, but I think he's really turning into something that this team couldn't even thought, and that's Cole Henry. I mean, when you look at what he's done, Grant, he has been spectacular in his appearances. Now, he's only had one that was he gave up any runs. He's only had one where he didn't go scoreless. 16 appearances, 15 of them scoreless. When you just now go back and look at his recent game logs, he hasn't given up a hit since May the 7th against the Guardians when he went three innings. He hasn't allowed a base runner since May 14th, that Wednesday game against the Braves. Like, he has been so good. And that was when they were in Atlanta, by the way. He has been so good. And he's someone that really would have been helping out this team quite a bit earlier if it weren't for injuries. But now that he's kind of carved out this role in the bullpen, like we talked about before, they have to be careful how they use him because injuries are kind of the thing for him. But if they can keep him healthy and understanding the ways that they have to use him, it's honestly okay that they have to be a little bit careful because whenever they do use him, he's been incredibly effective outside of one time. And he hasn't just looked like someone that is barely getting by. He's looked really dominant in his outings out of the pen.
Yeah, eight straight hitless innings at this point. Outings, I should say, more innings than that. But eight straight, I mean, he's working on a no-hitter effectively over those appearances. And to your point, when you pitch 16 times and you're scoreless in 15 of them, I mean, come on. He has been so much better than they could have anticipated. He's one of the biggest reasons why the bullpen has had this in-season renaissance and really gotten its act together. Because he's given them at times multi-inning relief and the ability to, throw two times in 3 days and be effective. And they just didn't have answers in the middle innings, that underbelly. And he absolutely has been a revelation. So I'm happy for him. It's such a shame that he is dealing with all of the past injury stuff and baggage that he is, because he was so unhittable in the minor leagues before he got hurt. And that string of injuries, and eventually the thoracic outlet took over. You almost could want to dream on what that could have looked like in the rotation. But it is what it is. And if this is what it takes to keep him healthy and to have him pitch and have a long career, then so be it.